Hey, listeners, thanks for enjoying another awesome program by Mega Powers Radio. I'm Mike Payton, owner of the station, and I wanted to tell you that Mega Powers Radio is soon celebrating its one-year anniversary, and we want you to share the fun with us. It all takes place this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hosts from across the entire collective will be on hand for jokes, games, a few special surprises, and as always, we'll be welcoming your calls on the air as well. So, don't miss this once-in-a-year chance to hear all your favorite Mega Powers Radio hosts as you've never heard them before. It all goes down this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. That's Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Don't be a lemon, be there. What's shaking, wrestling fans? It is Monday, June 16th, and we just finished watching this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, and we apologize for going on for a few minutes late. Shoutouts to Skype and BTR for making things an extra special pain in the ass, but we toughened ourselves through it. We're men like that, and we're here for you folks, as we always will be every single Monday night here on Mega Powers Radio with the Raw post show. Guys, let's start digging into things, but first let me introduce all the panelists we got talking to y'all this evening. First off, I'll be hosting. I am the station director here at Mega Powers Radio, and my name is Mike Payton. Along with me, lots of folks. First off, the leader of the Drew crew, Mr. Drew White. What's shaking, Drew?
This show is gonna be extra. Wait for it. Shitty.
You talking about the post show or the Raw show?
The Raw show in the Skype call.
No, stumped up with that one.
The way I see it, the Raw post show was just taking a dramatic pause. And if you drop the fans, all right. Well, since you decided to bring yourself up there, joining us from the untitled movie show. Forget the name because it doesn't have a name. Mr. Miguel Leon, how you doing, Miguel?
See, this is what happens when you put Sin Cara in charge of the Skype chat.
Indeed. With us, joining us all the way from across the pond in Old Wales, not New Wales, apparently he has a vendetta against them, Mr. Sean Walker.
Morphine and Fosters do not mix.
Okay. Oh, gosh. And from the Unanimous Decision MMA show and Addicted to Anime, Steven Huego.
Hello, hello, hello.
And the leader of SmartoutMoment.com, Tony Mango.
Morphine and Fosters do mix. Don't trust Sean. Try it.
Oh my goodness.
He's lying.
Yeah, trust me. If you fucking saw the last episode of Smart Out Moment, you know not to trust Sean.
I find that offensive, sir.
Well, guys, our big thing that we accomplished on Raw is we filled our final two spots heading into the Money in the Bank matchup to determine a new WWE World Champion, and we got those two people as Roman Reigns and John Cena. Roman Reigns winning his way in there with a battle royal. John Cena via a stretcher match against Kane. Number of other things actually happened on Raw. This Raw had a lot of ups and a lot of downs. I'm really kind of conflicted about how to feel about it, but I want to go around and ask your guys' opinions, as I like to do. What is the number one thing you took away from Raw tonight? Tony, why don't you start us off, bro?
When WWE puts the effort into shit, it comes out good.
Okay.
I'll keep it like that.
All right. Wago, what about you?
What I took away from this is Money in the Bank has got a hell of a lot more interesting. And generally, this is one of the more action-filled Raws, and it paid off tonight. I enjoyed the show. And I originally thought Bray Wyatt was going to walk away with the championship, but the addition of Roman Reigns kind of froze me for a wobbly there. So I'm not sure who's going to end up walking out as the champ.
Sean, what's the number one thing you took away from tonight?
Stardust is amazing.
Thank you.
And should be a main event player. He is an A-star player.
Well, we know what happened to the last person who called themselves a main event player.
He's main event in Indies.
True that.
True. Miguel, what was the number one thing you took away from tonight?
How unbelievably over Roman Reigns is.
Oh my goodness, crowd loved him tonight.
Yeah, he's going to be – I really hope WWE doesn't drop the ball with him. I mean, they've done it so many times with so many other guys. This one's different. I really hope that this guy goes on to bigger and better things.
And Drew White, what's the number one thing you took away tonight?
It's going to be a playoff of Mango's answer. When you put effort into puke, it looks realistic and not like shit.
I don't know. I think I saw some corn in there.
Nah, that makes it more – no, it's puke. Don't worry about it.
Did you ever eat corn? That's what comes out in your puke. Anyway.
it's more like shit.
Grapple This Productions actually making a nice little comment in the chat. Enough with the introductions. Let's get to the WWE's take on German Scheiser videos. That was a wild Raw tonight. As I said, our two big stories, Roman Reigns battling himself. Well, first off, at the start of the show, we had everyone on the ramp, all the entire roster out in the front of the stage, which I always think is cool. It always makes a moment feel really special as the Authority came out and told him that we would be having a battle royal that night to determine one of the spots in there. However, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and John Cena were going to be excommunicated from this because they're a thorn in the Authority side, whatever. Roman Reigns, though, manages to smooth talk himself and pull some hijinks, getting Vicky Guerrero to side with him somehow and put him into that match. A fun little hijinks by Roman Reigns. And eventually winning that match with what I thought was actually a really great final two in that match with him and Rusev. Rusev pulling some awesome moves, did this spinning heel kick that I thought was amazing. And anyone who says that guy's not athletic, watch that move. That was badass. Roman Reigns, though, pulling the Superman punch to knock Rusev off, get himself as one of the final competitors into the Money in the Bank matchup. Go around and get your guys' thoughts about Roman Reigns and his entire journey tonight, getting himself into that matchup. Wago, why don't you start us off?
I enjoyed his little hijinks with Vicky Guerrero. We've seen the whole drugging someone before, and whilst the comedy's a little forced, when she was actually vomiting, it all worked well for developing Roman Reigns' character a little more as he goes off on this singles run. As far as the actual match goes for the Battle Royal, it wasn't too bad, and his little showdown with Rusev at the end was pretty damn fun. That is exactly what Rusev needs to be. He's a big monster and perfect for guys like Roman Reigns to look awesome against. A nice Superman punch finish, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in the ladder match. And also, the fact that they kept the Shield music with him, I think that's the best thing they could have done, because out of the three guys that keep that, I think it should be him.
It almost seems kind of unfortunate, though, that he doesn't at least get the effort to get his own music. I mean, not that they weren't lazy as hell with what they gave Ambrose and Rollins, but they might be able to build those into bigger tunes like they often do with people.
Well, the Shield music's so badass, and it's already got such a presence about it that him walking down for the crowd still, I think, to that theme is going to work perfectly. I think he's the guy that should keep it.
Yeah, I think so too. If it was anybody, it should be him. I think they need to mix it up a little bit more. They added a little bit more drums to it, which made it sound a little bit more booming. But if they could find a band, and a good band, not just like Downstate, someone to make a really good version of that, I think that would be badass for him.
Oh, how about they get Saliva? They've never used them before.
Drew.
Why not Limp Bizkit while you're at it?
Drew, I know you got Roman Reigns on the Drew crew. How happy are you about this?
You know, I'm happy for that, obviously. But I did like the match that he was in, that Battle Royale. I think when it comes to Rusev, if we got to see more of him and not like these like 2-minute squash matches that like they did again tonight, I feel like we could see he's more athletic and he could do more of these moves, and we can't just like hate on him as much. I think that's what they need to do. They need to give him some more longer matches. But when it comes to, let's see, my boy Roman Reigns, yeah, I thought it was a little weird. I didn't like the throw up segment that much. I liked the segment before with Vicky with Roman Reigns pulling out the moves, the slick moves. He gets the ladies and probably Peyton's heart as well in the process. So
long time ago.
Oh yeah, see, but no, I know you were just like, oh man, I wish that was me in that situation. I would give coffee just to fuck Roman. So anyways, the point is, it was good, and it was all good in the end, because now Reigns is in a championship match.
You're fired. Sean, how did you think about Roman Reigns' journey tonight?
Meh, it is what it is. The ring was filled with jobbers during the Battle Royal, apart from Rusev. So when it got to them two. It was like a 50-50 chance. I honestly thought Rusev was going to get the win, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm not a big supporter of Roman Reigns. I've always been a Seth Rollins guy. But, you know, crack on. As long as he or Bray Wyatt takes the belts at Money in the Bank, you won't hear me complain.
Miguel?
I'm 50-50 on the whole Roman Reigns saga tonight, because on the one hand, I almost turned off the show with the whole spiking the coffee thing. I was afraid where it was going to go, and it went there. Then you have the fake puke, and I was just like, I could really just shut the show off right now. Like, that's one of those just really just easy lowbrow segments that I've just outgrown stuff like that. But to me, that was a real big turnoff for me. But at the same time, that pop that Rusev and Reigns got when it was just them, I haven't heard a pop that loud probably since WrestleMania, the night after. I mean, the crowd got into that huge. And I said that it showed how over Reigns is. We can't discount Rusev also, because it takes two in that regard. I think this proves that there is something more to Rusev. And maybe if they keep, you know, if they don't lose faith in him, he could go on to be the next big antagonist in the WWE. But I thought the back and forth between them was great. I think that's a pay-per-view main event right there within the next year, in my opinion. But that moment was so good, but the lowbrow humor stuff before it was so bad. I'm kind of evened out at that point. I really have nothing else I could say more about that, except it was kind of, you know, dead center for me.
I think something we have to speculate is, what exactly did Roman Reigns put into that coffee?
Shit.
Estrogen, because Stephanie McMahon is no woman.
Some type of chip that when swallowed, it programs TNA into the brain.
Did he mix morphine and Foster's?
Liquefied TNA.
All right. Mango?
To be no surprise that this ended up happening, because Roman Reigns has been on a roll lately. Judging by his smooth-talking skills, he's got a habit of inserting himself into things. Got Vicky Guerrero, Renee Young, Mike Payton. he's one of the two people I can see winning this match now. I used to think that there was a possibility that Cesaro would win, but it was almost a guarantee that Cena would. Now, fucking Cena has no chance compared to Roman Reigns in my book. And this is the best thing that Rusev's ever done so far, was that Battle Royal. I'll run him down in a negative way later on. We're talking about something else. But Roman Reigns looked fantastic here. Rusev looked the best ever. The Battle Royal was fun. The fact that he got to play around with Vicky Guerrero, even though the screaming vomit thing is pretty dumb, it showed a different side of Roman Reigns. He's been just the tough guy so far, and now that he can kind of have some fun too, that's going to help him out a long way. As does the whole keeping the music and walking through the crowd. Good. Stick with what works. The crowd loves it right now, and they just lost to Shield, so you're kind of easing them into just taking those attributes and giving them to Roman Reigns. Dean Ambrose is fine on his own. Roman Reigns can use this. He looks like a fucking star now. And that is just tons and tons of praise from me. This was awesome.
All right. Well, of course, we had one other person securing themselves a spot in that Money in the Bank matchup. John Cena, in our main event, found himself in a stretcher match. The first one on Raw in 10 years, if you didn't know, against Kane. I hate stretcher matches, and this was just what you would expect of one. There was some interference throughout it by the Rollins and Orton. Ambrose came out eventually to even the odds. But John Cena and Kane ended up being the final two men. I forget how the rest of one's gotten taken care of. But Cena AAs Kane onto the stretcher, pushes him across the line, securing him a spot. Now our Money in the Bank matchup is complete. What do we got in there? We got Roman Reigns, Cena, Sheamus,
Cesaro,
Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton. Who am I forgetting?
Oh, you got this. Come on. You got this.
Del Rio.
I think you already said him.
Did I say Del Rio? No. That's all of them, right?
Yeah, the sure. Rest
anybody fucking know anything?
I lost track of who you were saying, but the rest don't matter, because there's only a couple people that really have a chance. Do you really think Sheamus or Del Rio is going to win this fucking match? No.
How about that wrestling, huh?
All right, guys. Well, Cena is in there. A lot of people's worst nightmares. Hopefully, this is not leading to just another lol Cena victory. But it could be. He's always the fallback. And when things look like they're at their bleakest, he is someone they like to turn to. And this is one of those days, fresh off a large round of cuts. So, guys, Cena's in this. What do you think? Sean?
Shocking. I didn't see this coming a mile away.
You thought Kane was going to win?
I honestly thought the earth would explode before Cena was in the main event picture again.
I believe more if you were talking in your Robin Leach accent.
Nothing. Okay.
Nothing? Okay, yeah, all right.
Drew?
Try that.
There's a reason why stretch of matches haven't been on Raw in 10 years, and this is a fine example why. It was boring. I remember watching Kane and Cena 2 years ago. It sucked then. It still sucks now. That AA looked fucking stupid onto the stretcher. If they were gonna do that, put no pads on the stretcher. It's like taking a fall onto pads at that point. I don't know why Kane's just like, oh, thank you. That felt pretty relaxing. But aside from that, you know, I'm fine with Cena being in the championship match at Money in the Bank. I guess it makes it more. How can I say? That makes it more prestigious, you know. I mean, John Cena's in it. The only issue I have with the match now is that I don't know how they're going to do this. There's not really many people who could will do exciting stuff. So we're going to have to see the closer we get how the match will actually be. But when it comes to this match, it was just below average. A B minus, maybe. No, B plus.
Miguel?
I liked it. I liked it, and I think the reason I liked it was because it's been such a long time since we'd had a matchup that actually got from beginning to end on Raw, at least a main event. I mean, how many weeks have we gone now where it's been like a Shield versus Evolution encounter or something like that, where it just ends in a big brawl that really has no ending at all? Like, it was nice to see a matchup actually begin and end accordingly. So I think in that regard, I probably liked it a lot more than I should. And you know what? It's been a while since we've seen a gimmick matchup like this, main event, a Raw. So I dug it for what it was. I thought it told a good enough story. I liked the interference. Yeah, the AA on the stretcher was lame, but I had a feeling that's how it was going to end anyhow. So I was resigned to it. And for what it was, it could have been a lot worse, but it was what it was for a main event for a Monday Night Raw. So I think it did what it had to, and it did it well.
Wago?
I enjoyed the match. I didn't think it was as bad as some people on the internet was making it out to be. I don't like the stretcher match concept, never really have. Just the whole point of incapacitating someone and pushing them over a line seems really fucking dumb, but there's worse matches out there. It was a good TV match, and it delivered what it needed to do, and you can't, and I want you to be honest, we need John Cena in this match as far as with the title vacated, you need that big star in there. So any way to get John Cena in and keep it interesting is fine with me.
Mango?
Stretcher matches are not my thing. I agree with what everybody said about that, as well as that lame ending to it where it kind of looked like Kane was just sort of, oh, crap, I fell. Can you put me back there, buddy? And he was like, sure, no problem. Here, let me just, you know,
just
carefully place you on there and then give you a little bit of a push.
You comfortable?
Yeah, exactly. Was that too hard? No, I'm sorry. I think this would have been benefited with them announcing that Kane could have had a chance to be in the Money in the Bank match, because the way that they did that with just John Cena, you can get it if you beat Kane. For the people that are like us that analyze this kind of stuff, and even the little kids that are smart enough to analyze it, you kind of know the story is John Cena should win here. So if it could have been either John Cena or Kane wins, then you'd see a lot more people that were like, oh, crap, well, maybe Kane's going to win and they're going to be screwing John Cena out of this. Because when Rollins and Orton came out, that could have been a potential reasoning for having John Cena lose. And having the match announced the way that they announced it, well, you knew that somebody else was going to come out and even the odds. And that hurt it a little bit. John Cena being in the main event of Money in the Bank makes perfect sense. I'm glad. For the title, you need somebody like John Cena. So the execution, flawed, but the end result, it was necessary.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back in, we're going to start opening up the phone line so you can voice your opinions about what happened on Raw tonight, including John Cena and Roman Reigns finding their way into the Money in the Bank matchup or whatever else you want to talk about. If you want to get yourselves in line, call in area code 760-512-7247 or dial in with Skype at the little icon at the top of the page. And, of course, the chat room is rolling nicely as well. Get yourselves in line. We'll be back in just a minute.
Listeners, thanks for enjoying another awesome program by Mega Powers Radio. I'm Mike Payton, owner of the station, and I wanted to tell you that Mega Powers Radio is soon celebrating its one-year anniversary, and we want you to share the fun with us. It all takes place this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hosts from across the entire collective will be on hand for jokes, games, a few special surprises, and as always, we'll be welcoming your calls on the air as well. So, don't miss this once-in-a-year chance to hear all your favorite Mega Powers Radio hosts as you've never heard them before. It all goes down this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. That's Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Don't be a lemon. Be there.
Radical, dude.
Man, if you're bad at calendar math, that's tomorrow night here on Mega Powers Radio starting at 9 p.m. Our one-year anniversary technically is tonight, but we didn't want to push off the Raw post-show so we could be here with all you awesome wrestling fans. Plus, you know, we had to watch Raw. You can't miss a single week of Raw. You never know what you might miss, right? Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, guys. No?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Let's open up the phone lines. Our first caller, as we always have here, from the 412, JD from Pittsburgh. JD, what's shaking, dude?
Hey, guys, congratulations. Happy anniversary to all you guys. I'll try to get on with you guys tomorrow night as well and call in for sure.
Oh, thank you, man. Hope you can join us. We'll definitely appreciate hearing your voice. But let's hear your voice about tonight's show. What'd you think of all that went down?
Well, it was an interesting show tonight. It was a little bit better than I thought it was going to be going in. However, I mean, the Kevin Hart stuff, how they kept the small comedy to minimum. I mean, they did the stupid cheesy puke segment with Stephanie and Hunter and Vicky and Roman Reigns and the coffee. I mean, it was just kind of childish, but it was a little mature, but it was also funny at the same time. I mean, someone had to stick it to the authority, and Roman Reigns showed why he did it, and he's definitely worthy of that spot. And I think right now, I mean, I've been driving the Roman Reigns bandwagon along with Cesaro for the last 3 or 4 months. However, I mean, I think right now they've got something cooking with both of these guys. I think right now you've got to give Roman Reigns the big push right now at this point in time. However, I know Daniel Bryan's going to be out for a little while, and we don't know how much longer it's going to be, but they say possibly SummerSlam, they say Night of Champions, maybe even Hell in a Cell. So if they're going to be out with Daniel Bryan at least until the end of the summer, into the early part of the fall, however, then Roman Reigns could be the guy that gives the big push, and I think tonight he was worthy of winning that battle royal. I mean, it was definitely an interesting showdown with him and Rusev, no doubt about it. And I mean, that kick, like you said, it is lethal. That's one thing I will admit about Rusev. That kick he has is just lethal as they come, man. I mean, he just literally kicks your head off. I mean, when you look at him, he reminds you a little bit of Tong Po from Kickboxer. I'm calling him now the new Tong Po, if you will. Because, I mean, anytime when Long Screams crush him, he just stands on his back and it looks like he's ready to yank the hairs out of you and then just puts on the accolades like, you're done within seconds. Everyone just taps out. I mean, that's Keith Slater tonight. I mean, he found out tonight as he jobbed that match. But, no, it was a pretty good show tonight. I mean, there were some good parts and some mixed parts about it. I mean, I'll be at the show next Tuesday night when they come here in Pittsburgh. And, of course, they're going to be in D.C., so they're going to have to put on a pretty good show next Monday to sell Money in the Bank. But I think right now, however, the only thing I didn't like, however, is that, I mean, I am not a John Cena fan. I never have been. I never will be. I mean, yeah, sometimes he does have good matches. I will admit that he does a lot outside of the ring. But just the stretcher match tonight was a little too much for me, and I think it could have been better if you asked me. So, all in all, it was a pretty half-decent show, and I got to say, however, it'll be interesting to see what the ratings are going to be like, obviously, I mean, with nothing going up tonight. So, I think they'll be above a 3-0 tonight, hopefully. I mean, if they're not, shame on them. But next week, we're going to have to really come out swinging for the fences going into Money in the Bank, no question about it.
So, one controversial thing I'm seeing people having all types of crazy opinions about, I definitely want to hear what you got to say about this one, JD. Stardust.
Sure. Not funny. Not funny. No. I mean, Vince, like I said tonight, did a couple things tonight. However, that was stupid and hokey. I mean, the whole coffee bit was one of them. Stardust. I mean, you heard freaking Michael Cole even just announce, knew it was Cody Rhodes right away. However, he even said it on camera, for God's sake. I mean, we all knew it was going to be Cody, for God's sake. I mean, originally, I thought last week, and we took guesses last week who it was going to be. I mean, Some people said it was going to be Dusty Rhodes. Some people thought it was going to be someone else. I mean, there was talk at one point, however, that they were going to try to get The Miz on. In fact, The Miz was tweeting backstage today at the arena, and you talk about a guy who absolutely has no character, no where to go as far as his development goes right now. It is The Miz. And you talk about all these roster cuts this last week, however. I mean, why haven't they released guys like, say, I hate to say it, guys like Miz, like Khali, like Santino, like Xavier Woods, like R-Truth? Why aren't they even on the cut block? I think that's the next round of cuts you're going to see in the WWE, because right now it just seems like they have nothing to do with most of these guys, if at all. And they're talking about making some changes in NXT, about releasing some guys down there too. I mean, who's going to cut down there? I mean, right now your top guy is Adrian Neville. I mean, besides Sami Zayn and Tyler Breeze, I mean, who are you going to cut? Like Jason Johnson? You're going to cut Charlotte when she's maybe one of the hottest divas in the company? Come on, seriously. I mean, right now they got. I mean, right now I think they're in a panic mode at this point. But like I said, all in all, it was a pretty decent show tonight. Like I said, they're going to be in Columbus tomorrow. We'll see what happens there this week on SmackDown. But like I said, next week they're going to have to really, really hit the gas on Money in the Bank. Because like I said, I mean, it's not one of the bigger shows, but it's a decent show. They're going to have to get a lot of people interested. Because right now, everyone's going to be wondering, going into Money in the Bank, is John Cena going in his hometown? Personally, I don't think he is. Like I said, if there's two guys right now that you got to look as favorites, it's definitely either Cesaro or it's definitely Roman Reigns. No question about it.
That was actually the question I was about to ask you. You're saying they're in desperate times. They need to make money. If you were in the chair and you needed to get this company money and you had this Money in the Bank proposition here, who would you have win that and take the company through the summer and all the way up until our next WrestleMania?
Wow, that is tough. I mean, I like both Cesaro and I like Roman, but I think right now they're going to give Cesaro a little bit of time. I'm going to say Cesaro at the moment. I think they're going to strap the rocket on at least until the Rumble, and then I think from the Rumble on they're going to cool him down a little bit, and then they're going to strap the rocket onto Reigns and carry him into WrestleMania. So right now, I think it's a two-parter. You bring up a good point there. I think Cesaro carries it up till January, and then from January until March or April, then you're going to see Roman Reigns really come out. But like I said, I think those are the two future guys you're looking at more and more that just the fans just are enamored of. And like you said, Reigns tonight had the fans eating out of his hand in Cleveland. They were just going ape shit for him tonight, and rightly so.
Absolutely. Now you said have Cesaro the champion up until Royal Rumble. What would you do with him at WrestleMania then if he's not going to be the champion and he just was all that time? What would you do to keep him in a high-profile spot?
With Cesaro, it's tough to say because, you know, I mean, there's some talk. I mean, if not Daniel Bryan, however, then maybe you could have something with him and Cena, perhaps. Or you could have him and Bray Wyatt, perhaps. And like I said, the only thing that's holding Cesaro back, and I've said this for weeks on end, I think the only thing that's keeping him back right now is Paul Heyman. I mean, Paul Heyman keeps saying Brock Lesnar all the time in his promos, and he did it again tonight, you saw. And obviously that leads me to wonder that it leads to a match possibly at SummerSlam between Cesaro and Brock Lesnar, because I imagine Brock Lesnar is going to attack Cesaro, and Paul Heyman's going to say, Cesaro, I told you what to watch out for her, but you never believe me. And like the announcers say all the time, you never can trust Paul Heyman with his back, with the way he speaks sometimes. And that leads me to wonder if Cesaro's going off to a face turn. And I think right now, if he does get that face turn, then the fans will get in him. But like I said, they're kind of still iffy with him at times. And like I said, except for the Battle Royal, you didn't see Cesaro a whole hell of a lot in the ring tonight. I don't know why he wasn't even in the ring. I mean, I think he was competing earlier in the evening, but I don't think he was competing at all tonight. Yes, they gave him the night off. So, like I said, we'll see. But like I said, I think right now they've definitely sent up the Cesaro and Brock more and more.
All right, JD, like we always like to wrap things up here, your high point, low point from tonight's show.
High point, no question about, was the Battle Royal, I think. It was really good. The Roman was just so over tonight. He's continuing to get that pop power, and I think the fans are still buying into his act. They're kind of still lukewarm on Ambrose, but he's getting a little bit better by the week, however. But I think Ambrose or Reigns is getting more of the face time than anything. The low point tonight, I think the coffee skip. But all in all, I mean, you know what? I'm going to say the worst part of the night, the Divas match. Paige and freaking Cameron. It was a joke. I mean, he went 3 minutes with that match. It was stupid. And you just saw Cameron trying to become this nice diva a couple times. And then she slapped Paige across the face. That leads me to wonder how bad the diva division has become. And I think it's just continuing to get worse. And right now, they need to have a big diva in that company right now. And with AJ just getting married to CM Punk this past weekend, I think you're going to see her back very, very soon. And I think you're definitely going to see possibly Paige and AJ maybe at SummerSlam.
All right, JD, tremendous call as always, bro. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you. Well, no, you're going to SmackDown next week, right? Not Raw.
Next Tuesday, right. I'm not going to Raw in DC, no, but I will be at SmackDown next Tuesday. And like I said, I will try to get in with you guys tomorrow night. Wish you guys happy anniversary as well.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you then, hopefully, if not next week. Have a good night, JD.
You too, guys. See you later.
Another tremendous call from our good friend JD. If anyone else out there wants to get their opinions voiced here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, please dial in area code 760-512-7247 on your cellular or landline phone. Or if you would like to use Skype instead, press the little Skype icon at the top of the page. That'll get you in as well. Returning the conversation to us, let's start at the top of the show and roll our way down. Our first matchup we had tonight was between Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins. Dolph Ziggler, I believe this is because he tweeted something or he said something that offended the authority. So they send Seth Rollins on the way to fight him off. Just a match for Seth Rollins to try to demonstrate his ability to run as a singles competitor. This match ends up getting broken up when Ambrose runs in for some interference. I don't know if this was a disqualification or a no contest or what it was. Ambrose, though, ends up being told he has a match with Bad News Barrett, so we immediately followed up into that. Dean Ambrose versus Bad News Barrett, and the favor is returned when Seth Rollins comes out, draws Ambrose out for a countout, allowing Bad News Barrett to get the victory. So the main thing we're seeing here is further heat created between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, assuming that's the match that we will see. I guess we can't see that Money in the Bank if Seth Rollins is going to be in the... Well, no, Seth Rollins isn't in the Money in the Bank matchup, right?
Nope.
No, he isn't.
Oh, so maybe that will happen in Money in the Bank then. I would assume we would want to save that for a SummerSlam, but hell, why not? We could put on the Money in the Bank. What'd you guys think about their story going tonight? What'd you think about Dean Ambrose's new look? He's sporting some jeans. He's got new theme music, which I didn't particularly care for. It's a little too generic for my taste, but shit, it's better than whatever the hell Seth Rollins has been coming out to. Get your guys' thoughts on that. Drew White, why don't you start us off since you decided to laugh at my joke? Thank you.
However, you're welcome. So, I liked it. I did like it. I don't know if I like Seth Rollins... Whatever it is, he's still come. I don't know why he's still coming out kind of like, he still has that Shield look. I think he needs to like move into something else because he was still wearing that undershirt that he always wore under his like strap of crap. So I didn't like that too much yet. But the Dean Ambrose, I'm digging the blue jeans and what looked like dress shoes but wasn't dress shoes shoes, and that white.
That's what they're called.
And that wife beater, that black wife beater he had on. So, yeah, I was picking up what he was putting down. I'm still – did they say what his finisher was called? Like, I think they did. I forget.
Dirty Deeds,
yeah.
Dirty Deeds. Have they been calling it that for a while? A
couple weeks. So it's, okay. It's recent.
All right, that's the first time I noticed it. So I was like, ah, okay. I mean,
yeah,
I still –
that's the first time I noticed it too.
Yeah, I still hate the finisher, but I like the name. I'll give it that. So, yeah, it was okay. It was good. I think so.
The chat room has been absolutely tremendous tonight so far with all their various counters. However, I'm afraid I got to correct you guys. You're saying there's a Mr. Carter counter? It's not Mr. Carter.
It's Mr. Carter.
It's Mr. Carter.
Hey, goodbye, guys. Goodbye.
Mr. Carter. Sean, you're our resident Seth Rollins lover. What'd you think about him and Ambrose tonight?
Yeah. I thought Seth Rollins had a great match against Dolph Ziggler, and that was one of my high points tonight. I don't like the fact that he's coming out to this generic rock, shitty, heavy, mad at dad music. Just scrap it. Go back to the, I don't know. Just steal something else.
Yeah, what are you going to say go back to? Go back to your over-angry dad music that you said.
Yeah, he hates his dad too, apparently. That's what they're going with.
I agree with Drew. He should distance his way from the Shield look as far as possible. Just go back to what he was wearing in NXT before he phoned up the Shield. That looked fine. Dean Ambrose is just Dean Ambrose, and I reckon this feud is going to go well onto SummerSlam, where we'll see all three Shield members battle it out for a number one contender for the WWE Championship.
Miguel, take over.
All right.
Miguel.
All right. Well, guys, I'll give you my.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, guys. I still had my mic muted when JD was talking. Yeah, sorry about that. But In terms of their attire, I'm okay with it. I mean, it's obvious that they really didn't have anything planned long term for these guys in terms of their ring attire, since from what you've heard online, the whole, you know, breaking them up was kind of at the last minute. So I'm okay with them taking their time to really feel this whole thing out and not just stick them with just some generic black tights or anything like that, because I really do think these guys have enough personality that they really could go – they really could do more with, you know, with just, you know, regular black pants or whatever. So I'm okay with them taking a little bit more time. And plus it still differentiates them. It's their look. They got it over with the Shield, so I'm kind of okay with it. I'm going to be honest, I missed the first hour of Raw. In fact, I started watching Raw halfway through the Dean Ambrose matchup, so I really can't comment on the Seth Rollins match. But Ambrose looked pretty good. I like Dean Ambrose. I think he's a great in-ring worker, and I want to see where this matchup where this goes to, because I think these guys could have a real big program with each other. I wouldn't mind seeing several different matchups with different stipulations between Ambrose and Rollins down the line, but we'll see how it goes from there.
Mango, you want to touch on this one?
Both matches were entertaining. Two of my favorite matches of the night. Probably secondary underneath the Battle Royal, I would say. Bad News Barrett, Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, four of the best guys that I think are going right now in WWE. And I'm excited about Rollins versus Ambrose, because you know that's got to happen. Whether or not it's a stipulation, I don't think that they should go with that route. Save that for the future. Battleground's coming up, so you could do some kind of a stipulation with Battleground, and you can drag that out for quite a while. The Triple H part where he came out, he came out on the screen just alone. I thought that he actually did a pretty damn good impression of Bad News Barrett. With the way that he did his you got some bad news thing. That made me laugh.
Better than when Stephanie did it.
Yeah, a hell of a lot better than that. All these guys are great. I enjoyed that whole big section of Raw from the very beginning of it. I like the new look of Dean Ambrose with the jeans. I think that's working for him. It's just enough to separate him from before, but not too drastic where he would look ridiculous. Because really, at this point, after coming out dressed like the Shield did, if Dean Ambrose came out and he was wearing like a blue singlet or something like that, then everybody would just be like, what the fuck? Kind of like Brodus Clay with the Funkasaurus kind of attire. You do that, and unless you're doing some kind of a weird gimmick on purpose, it's going to look odd. So that's a positive. The music, meh. They could have gone with something a little bit less generic. He actually had a pretty damn good song in FCW at the time. I can't remember the name of it, but I think it starts off with time. It's like time zone or something.
Time cow.
Time cow.
Maybe time cow. That would be great. It's just you take the cow from JBL's theme and apply it to him. There you go. His new theme. They both need lyrics to their songs to help legitimize it, and they need something that doesn't sound like the Angry Dad Syndrome. and while we're at it, Cesaro needs a new theme too.
New themes across the board.
Right. I actually would think that Cesaro's theme could work with Dean Ambrose, maybe. Because he's doing this whole gimmick now where he's like nuts. So I could see the siren thing working for him. It's a shame that they went with Cesaro, who has nothing to contribute with that whatsoever. So, you know, there's negatives and there's positives. I'm sure they're going to fix it. There's actually a rumor going around right now on Scoop, Scoop, Scoops that they know that people don't like Seth Rollins' new theme. And then they're like, ah, shit, we're going to have to change that. So I don't know why that would be the case, where they wouldn't have realized Cesaro's theme's getting worse reaction than that. But at least if that's true, they're paying attention, and that'll be fixed in the future. What everything else they're doing seems pretty good.
I'm starting to notice a pattern with all the bad theme music. I'm thinking this new guy they got to work with, Jim Johnson, might not be working out as hot as they think.
CFO money.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're working for a multi-billion dollar company. Come have an actual name, for God's sakes.
How do they sign his checks?
Like, yeah. How do you say hello to him? Hey, CFO money, how's it going?
Hi, Steve. How about that?
You know what's weird? People call Sting Steve.
Steven.
Steven.
Speaking of Steven, what'd you think about this?
As far as the theme music... Boy, I got an echo there. Okay, as far as the theme music goes, I think they're both just place fillers until they come up with something better. As far as attire goes, they have a situation where nothing is going to look more intimidating than those flak jackets. So no matter what they choose, it's not going to look as good. So I'm okay with them taking their sweet time with Seth Rollins, coming up with some new attire, and same with Dean Ambrose. As far as the match quality goes, the Dolph Ziggler match was pretty fun and a great opener. I think they should have opened up with the match rather than the segment. And Dean Ambrose, the match was kind of forgettable.
All right, folks, we're going to be heading over into the next match, Bray Wyatt versus Sheamus. Bray Wyatt actually came out first, did one of his signature promos. His word of the night was power, man. Power, man. Just said those two words over and over a bunch of times. I'm really just checking out whenever he talks anymore. He's not captivating me like he was. I don't know what's lost. I don't know. I'm just checking out of this Wyatt family thing. And it's horrible timing because I feel like he should be on the verge of hitting the main event. And it's quite the opposite for me. I'm seeing all these other stars popping up like Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Cesaro. And I feel like Bray Wyatt just should be left behind now. But that's just my opinion. I think he actually lost this match. I don't know. Him and Sheamus had a match. I went to get ice cream, so I completely missed it. Disqualification. I saw the Usos and the two Wyatt followers were having a little bit of a tussle, so I assume that had something to do with it. In the end, this really didn't matter. It was just something for two guys in the Money in the Bank matchup to do to fill time. So, you guys, anything you want to add to that one?
This was a match.
We're missing the most important question here. What flavor ice cream was it, Peyton?
Peanut butter cup.
Okay.
Totally worth it.
Sean, golf clap on that one. Nice choice.
Golf clap.
Sean, you had something you want to say?
It was they got them for the disqualification. Excuse me.
Do you have any opinions about Wyatt's promo or this match or anything?
Yeah. Why is Wyatt costing me points, the fucking cunt?
I'm starting to feel bad for you. They always cost you points. They're like, oh man, we're on Sean's team. Oh, fuck that bastard. Fuck Wales. USA. USA.
Old Wales, I might add.
Not new Wales. Pink Wales,
You know what? When Sean said Wales for the first time, I was picturing whales, like killer whales, like black whales, big whales, not old whales.
Australian whales.
Awesome Piano Man in the chat room says, I do love the crowd with their cell phones. It is an awesome visual. His entrance right now is still tons of fun to watch, but once that entrance ends, it's over. It's like an Ultimate Warrior match.
I think the problem with Bray Wyatt's promos is that they're too generic and they don't really lead to anything. You know, at least with the Warrior promos, they have a big they have all the excitement in there. Like, you don't care where the promo goes, you're just on it for the ride. But his promos kind of just bleed into one another nowadays, and he's not really talking about anybody specific anymore since his feud with Cena ended. So it's just kind of just noise at this point. He needs somebody he needs to feud with. He needs another opponent.
Wago, you had something you wanted to add?
As far as Bray's character goes right now, the issue is all his promos have got no direction and they're all just the same. I think he's one of the best promos out there, but again, what's he actually talking about? None of us fucking know. He's going to have a match and it's literally that's all. Then he's trying to promote it, but unfortunately it's just kind of meh. When he's got an opponent like a Daniel Bryan or a John Cena where he can direct all his mumbo-jumbo, it's a lot better.
Anybody have anything else they want to add to this? Because I really thought this was an insignificant segment.
It was insignificant.
Sheamus blows.
It went you blow. Right where I thought.
Hey, Sheamus got me points. He doesn't blow.
It was a match. Hey guys, Miguel's trying to talk.
This was basically just there to lead up to the big six-man matchup that they're having on SmackDown. I knew that as soon as the Usos came out, that's what this whole segment was going to be about.
Oh, was that announced?
Yeah, they came out, and then later in the show, they announced that it's going to be Sheamus and the Usos against the Wyatt SmackDown.
Wait, was it on SmackDown or was it main event?
I
think it might have actually been main event.
It might have been main event.
Which is even worse.
Who cares?
Using Raw to promote main event. Good job.
Well, they got to get more people to buy the network, and clearly main event's going to be it.
When they show those top 10 lists and I see main event is on the top 10 watch for the week, I don't believe it.
It's on ninth. It's always ninth. It's always in ninth place. It's not like it's like first.
That's why. Like, maybe no one will suspect it if it's all the way down there. Nobody's watching main event. Full shit.
It's because they don't have any other specific shows. It's just generic. It's just either specific pay-per-views or whatever they offer. They don't go like, oh, this episode of Monday Night Raw from June 27th, 1999 is getting, you know, it's the number 9 highest rated thing on the show. They don't do that.
That's fair. Yeah, everything's just more spread out. At least that has a little bit of concentration for the week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just going to bust their balls because main event is a pointless show and I'm not going to freaking watch it no matter how much they tell me to.
But Peyton, you should watch it.
I'm good. We're going to open up the lines to another caller, though. He's been waiting patiently. Caller from the 606. You're live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What up? It's Trent. Drunk as a sumbitch. What's going on?
Trent, you've been posting crazy messages in the Mega Maniacs group all day. I'm sure you got lots of crazy opinions to throw out there. What do you got to say, man?
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, seriously, really? All right, let's start off from the outset. And anytime I call into one of these podcasts, even when I was running my own damn podcast, I'm a bit controversial, so I don't expect an adverse reaction, but, you know, be that as it may.
Not going to scare me, man.
I like... Do what?
You're not going to scare me, man. Fire off.
But maybe me.
All right. Fair enough.
No one cares about you.
I liked the beginning of the show, to be honest, because it was different. It was, first off, they wrestled. Oh, my God. Really? They freaking wrestled. It wasn't your 7-minute squash match in between, you know, commercial breaks. It was, you know, the first couple matches went on beyond, you know, just, you know, your stereotypical WWE style match. And it was brilliant. And it was something that was fresh in and of itself. Now, that being said, you know, the cast of characters changed as well, and that was awesome, until they pulled a Dusty. Why in the fuck do you have to pull a Dusty? I mean, in this day and age, it's cliche as all get out, and then it's over. I mean, on any given day, and really, let's take a step back here for a second. The WWE was promoting reality television, you know, as this new theme. And, you know, even it went around the IWC and this, that, and the other in that, you know, things were different. You know, supposedly certain wrestlers weren't told, like when Paige won the championship, you know, that they were going to win. You know, it just happened through the flow of the match. You know, if that's true, that's great. It adds an organic nature back to the sport that it desperately needs and hasn't seen in roughly 25 years, going back to the territorial days. So, you know, when they changed the cast of character, I was like, awesome, this is pretty cool. You know, Bray Wyatt taking on Sheamus, Wade Barrett fighting, and then, you know, again, the Dusty. And then if you're going to commit to a theme, commit to it. And they didn't, because at the end of, you know, if you go on reality on any given day, if you're going to try and make this a spectator sport again, like boxing, UFC, et cetera, on any given day, anybody can lose, regardless. And it can set you up for storylines down the road, which was what made the territorial days brilliant in and of itself, because you didn't know what to expect. On the bottom of every pamphlet or a flyer that you got, asterisk, subject to change. You know, you just didn't know what to expect. And that's what led to the ultimate psychology and this the investment, the emotional investment that you made as a fan. So I wanted that, and the show started off with that, and then they pulled a Dusty in that Wade Barrett couldn't lose the match, so they did the damn count out, and I'm just like, really? Kind of lame. And then you went into the WWE's version of a shyster video. There's my counter right there. There's one. I'm going for 17. We ain't hanging up until I get 17.
Oh, gosh.
I know, right? Yeah, baby. I'm destroying it. Hey, I'm not going to destroy your show tomorrow night, but tonight I'm destroying it. So, But no, I mean, and then from there it was just downhill. It was back to the WWE mold that it's been since the Attitude Era, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of John Cena. I'm sick of Kane. For the love of God, they should have had, you know, El Torito pulling pubes. You know, that would have been far more entertaining than the main event. I mean, seriously, it was ridiculous. I mean, some people, you know, mark out on it, and fair enough. And
I don't even think I saw Torito on the show tonight. Torito wasn't even there.
Did what?
Torito wasn't even there tonight, was he?
No. I'm just saying, and thank God for it, because I posted, and this is an unfortunate joke that I did at the expense of little people, but I posted a joke saying that midgets have no place in wrestling. Hashtag little people have no stature, which is
Kevin Hart
brilliant in and of itself, but yeah, it's kind of offensive. So
that's a good pun.
Exactly. So, but no, man, I mean, it had the potential, because you have to get rid of John Cena, get rid of Kane, get rid of Triple H, Stephanie, et cetera, et cetera. If you're going to commit to a theme, you have to allow this new guard to come in and take over and allow them to thrive and do their thing. Bray Wyatt on the mic tonight, money. Straight money, always is money, always will be money, because he has creative control to an extent over his character. And with the other Wyatts, they've had the opportunity as well over the past, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and they're finding their characters because they have been given more creative control than a lot of people are. And you have to go back to the rule of thumb that everything that's scripted isn't necessarily gold, and it's not. And that's a problem with the business right now. And to take it a step further, and I'll finish with this because I don't want to monopolize the show. What the WWE does as being the flagship for the business itself, everyone else follows. And by robbing everyone of their control, you know, a piece of the creative pie, as it would be, everybody else does it too. They accept this as the norm, as, you know, the business practice, and it's not good. It's hurt the business, the industry, and it hurts wrestling. I'm more of a fan of the old, you know, NWA territorial days, because these guys had more creative control. And like I said, I'll end with that. Taking my call, brother.
No, you don't got to go. I want to ask you one more thing. I just want to bring it back to Raw. I don't like to go too far off. From Raw, though,
sure.
What was your favorite part of Raw tonight? What was your least favorite part of Raw tonight? That's how we like to end these calls.
Sure. No problem. All right. Honestly, I've already answered your first question. My favorite part was the beginning, because it was unexpected. The first couple matches, you know, Seth Rollins taking on Dolph Ziggler, where they actually wrestled and it wasn't a 7-minute squash match. Brilliant. Followed up by the potential of a Bray Wyatt versus Sheamus match. And then again, you go back, you know, Bray Wyatt versus John Cena, where the Usos keep coming out and you kill it. You kill the momentum. And, I can't remember. I'm trying to remember what wrestler said it. One of the late greats watched this video on YouTube not too long ago. Can't remember his name because I'm too fucking drunk, but that be as it may. He said that if each match does not carry forth the momentum, and you have like your stall match or your gimmick match, this, that, or the other, it will kill the momentum leading into your main event, and it will kill the show outright. And that's the problem the WWE exists, that realm that they exist within right now. And because they can't get past it, they do it every week, and they even do it now on the pay-per-views. And TNA is no better. And these are your two, you know, flagships. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that are carrying wrestling lore, you know, further. So I like the aspect of the first couple of matches. It was unexpected until, you know, you had the Dusty, and then you had, you know, the Usos interfere for no other reason. And then, but let's back up there. The announcers, they take you by the hand and they lead you into that ultimate conclusion, and that kills it. You need to allow the fans to come to that conclusion, you know, by their own right. And they didn't allow it because they set it up like, well, the Wyatts are going to take on the Usos, you know, in the upcoming Money in the Bank. And so you're already thinking, oh, hell, interference, here we go again. And it's just ridiculous. You're doing it for the sake of doing it, and that kills it. If you don't even set it up and they just run out, you get your Road Warrior pop. And it's great. You know, the crowd reacts. They feel like it's something special because there was no setup for it. And WWE just does that now, and same with TNA. You know, they feel like the fans are stupid and they can't follow the storyline. You know, and that kills me. It's insulting to the business. It's insulting to fans. It's insulting to anybody learning or honing their own craft. You don't have to take them by the hand or walk them through the story. They can come to that conclusion.
You're very right, Trent. I mean, it's ridiculous that often these shows are catered to the lowest common denominator. And a lot of times people who watch it consistently left feeling like you feel like a baby at times, because it's like, all right, I was already trained to know all this like 20 years ago. But I think it's the thing we have to stop and understand is there are a lot of new fans that are constantly coming in. People cycle in and out as fans of wrestling as often as wrestlers themselves are cycling out, if not more. So a lot of times we see things like that and we feel like it's treating us stupid. That I think we need to stop sometimes and think that there are stupid people watching, or I shouldn't call them stupid, but new people watching.
Sure, but to that end, and I'll finish with this. Again, I'm not trying to take up more time than what I already have. I'll just leave this question, and if you want to answer it, feel free. If not, you know, don't. That's okay, too. Where they're trying to appeal to a broader market, to what end? Because you've already lost 60% of your hardcore, your diehard fans over the past 10 years. To what end do you take it? You're trying to appeal to a broader market, but you've alienated the biggest part of your market. From a business standpoint, that's bad business. Mm-hmm. So to what end do you continue to do this? Do you continue to treat your fans like fucking retards? And if so, I mean, what's the end result? And are you willing to accept that? Because even tonight, as an example, and I actually liked it because where they've been blatant in, over the past month in trying to force feed the WWE network, they were kind of more subtle about it, which, you know, they gave it a little bit more nuance, and thank God for that. They were like, well, if you had the WWE network, you know, you didn't miss any of the action during the commercial break. Loved it. That was a great, you know, selling point. And they didn't try to force it down your throat. So they need to get more nuance in that respect in all facets. But will that happen? Who knows? But I'm going to end there. Thanks, brother.
All right, Trent. Drake call, man. Well, I hope to have you on again sometime, hopefully when you're sober. Have
what
a good night, bro.
What the fuck was his question that he left us?
I think the question was, does WWE continue to be a game where they're catering to the casuals, or should they start trying to lock in their long-term fans and cater to them? And that's a question that's often raised a lot of times, and I think the conclusion that everyone always comes to is you have to find a medium. You can't just completely exclude any of them. And I think the problem is that they'll see segments that are catering to the other and they see it's not catering to them and they'll feel excluded. As Trent said, there were segments that he liked, those opening segments. He enjoyed those and they spoke to him. That's the cool thing about wrestling. You're always going to find something that speaks to you no matter who you are, unless you're just an asshole, in which case you still could find something to relate to. So, I don't know. You guys have anything you want to add to that thought?
No, let's move on to the next one.
Okay. How about them Road Warrior pops, huh?
Well, yeah.
All right, well, let's get back into talking about Raw. We had a quick mash match between Rusev and Heath Slater. Heath Slater actually seemed like he was trying to do a little bit of a babyface run. I mean, now that he's got his fallen compatriots, Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre missing, Slater's left to fend for himself, and somehow that means he's going to start sticking up for the United States. However, it didn't work out too much in his favor. Rusev puts him down with the camel clutch or the accolade, whatever the heck he's calling it. Rusev continues his warpath. When will it end, guys? When will it end?
Tony? Well, first off,
later on in Raw.
Drew, you wanted to say something?
I want to say something really quickly. Go. And it's that Heath stole Jinder's face turn. We all knew it was coming. Fuck him.
Tony?
Better be fucking soon. I am so damn tired of the Rusev stuff. His entrances take 10 times longer than the matches. They're boring as hell, and the matches aren't worth waiting for that entrance to begin with. I don't care that he can beat up Heath Slater. El Torito has proven that he can beat up Heath Slater. So that's no big fucking feat of strength for Rusev to do that. And Lana is getting worse on the microphone with that shut up thing that she's doing. This is garbage. I can't stand it anymore. Rusev was great in the Battle Royal because all he did is show off athleticism. All of this other character crap they're doing is crap. And I'll give him a little bit of credit where credit's due. He's actually talking now.
English. So
he's not he's not a complete mute potato. But
he would talk, but he would always talk in Bulgarian, and it would always be the same damn thing in Bulgarian.
Yeah, the Rusev Udria Rusev Scallops or something. But he needs so much more, and they're just not giving it to him. And I don't know if that's because they can't think of anything else to do with him, or if they think that this is good enough. Because if we are to believe what we talked about on Smack Talk, where Vince McMahon is supposedly down on Paige, Bo Dallas, and Adam Rose, but not Rusev, what the hell is he seeing in this? Because it can't possibly be the great mic skills. It can't possibly be the great crowd reaction, because they're not getting it until the other people come out and do the USA stuff. So this is crap. Fuck Rusev. And Sheamus.
Miguel?
I think there's a curiosity with Rusev. I think what he needs is a more sustainable opponent. You know, I think, yeah, people are getting tired of the squash matches, although I'm not, because it's getting me points. But I think people are just want to see somebody who can go toe-to-toe with him. And I think later down the line, when he was in the Battle Royal, proved that. When you put a guy up there that's believable against it, Alexander Rusev, I think the people are willing to get to him. And in terms of what Vince sees, it's the size. You know, even the announcers kind of commented on his physique during the Battle Royal, I believe. I think one of the guys was like, what's up with Rusev and his body type, his size? He's like, it's impressive there, Maggle.
Maggle?
Yeah, Maggle. But I do think that there is something to this Rusev. I think right now Rusev is in the same spot Ryback was before he got his big push against CM Punk. He's kind of meandering, but I don't think the fans have given up on him yet. He just needs that big opponent. And I would not be shocked if we get something planned for him and an opponent come SummerSlam. I think that's where you're going to see his coming out party is that event.
His coming out party. You mean his coming out party wasn't when he got the Russian star?
No. That was just the opener. That was the appetizer.
Oh, what's a potato appetizer? That was the pierogies.
That was his potato
fries. Cheese fries.
When are we going to see the coming out party for Adam Rose?
Hopefully it'll come with a pink slip.
Oh, that. Sean, what are you thinking about Rusev?
The quicker the Big Show comes out and knocks this fucking cunt out, the quicker I can see him on the unemployment line, the quicker I'll be happy.
Wago?
I'm getting sick of this big fucking doofus. As far as the character goes, I'm still not high on it, but I have to admit I had a guest over today and she was actually into the Rusev character, so it obviously has some...
It was the jumping on from his knees thing, right?
Did he even do that tonight?
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention, but I guess it has some appeal to casuals, but as far as I'm concerned... Seen it before. Don't give a fuck.
You sure your guest wasn't just hungry?
Actually, probably more the case. Only airplane food, so.
He looks delicious.
So suddenly, do you have any chips?
I actually did that during the during his opening. I just sat there by myself going, Rooster potato, Rooster potato.
Doesn't it make his entrance so much more tolerable?
Yes.
And it's funny, like, I think his theme was extra loud tonight because the commentators were trying to talk over it, but even they could tell like they weren't being heard. It's like, well, Rusev is.
I think they had some audio problems tonight. Somebody didn't know their levels or something because they did one of those little right after the commercial, right before the commercial or something like that, the little end cap things, and it was advertising something for like main event or whatever, and you've got that like. Song that's playing in the background, it's really fucking annoying. Mm. And Michael Cole's just like, and there's a man.
That's not the only thing they fucked up either. When they segued from the Triple H promo to Bad News Barrett's entrance, they totally missed out the first chunk of it, and it was just saves the queen.
Yeah, that's true. Like, they cut out the beginning of the Shield thing to make sure that people don't realize, you know, the Shield's gone, and it wouldn't make any sense for Seth Rollins to do that. But it's like, well, we gotta get rid of the God part. Just save the.
It's kind of like when they took God out of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right. Just like, and then let me sing the rest.
Oh, goodness. Well, our next match had a special guest coming out, Kevin Hart. I know we're all excited to see him. Woo! Promoting Think Like a Man 2, I think it's called. I didn't even know there was a Think Like a Man 1. Good for him, I suppose. He was first approached by Adam Rose in the back to be a Rosebud, but he completely refused, which is Adam Rose's gimmick supposed to be that he's on drugs all the time? Like, I know jokes are made, but seriously, is that really his gimmick? Because that's the impression I was getting from this. Like, Kevin was like, no, man, I don't do that stuff. I'm a good kid.
Maybe they lace those lollipops.
Something, I don't know.
Maybe they're RVDs.
We had a matchup between Fandango and Adam Rose with Kevin Hart on commentary. Adam Rose getting the victory over Fandango. Him and Kevin Hart did a little dance afterwards and did the body surf out. It was just stupid unless you like Kevin Hart, I guess. I don't know who's watching Raw just to see Kevin Hart. Fandango and Adam Rose actually had a much better match on SmackDown. And after the conclusion of that match, Summer Rae was hiding under a chicken costume as part of Adam Rose's party and then slowly crept up and attacked Layla. If you haven't seen that bit, go ahead and watch it. That was truly enjoyable. But any thoughts from you guys about Fandango and Adam Rose?
Can it be about Kevin Hart?
Sure.
Go ahead, well, the only good thing I heard from Kevin Hart tonight was when he talked about how when he heard sirens, he thought that the police was coming after him, so he was about to run. Except for that, there was nothing else.
Tony, anything you want to add?
No, I actually missed this entire segment. I went to Lucky go do you. Something else, and then I realized that it was taking a little bit too long, and I was hoping that I wouldn't miss the Battle Royal. So then, of course, I come to you guys like, oh my god, that was funny, whatever. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I always have to skip one segment on Raw normally to catch up with you guys getting home from work. This is the one I chose to skip, and I'm glad I did.
Sean, Miguel, anything?
It was actually a mixed tag match.
Was it?
Yeah.
I never saw the women actually get in the ring.
Yeah, they got into the ring, so they scrapped, they ran. Layla legged it. Summer Rae chased after her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that was a whole bit.
Oh, I missed that part then.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it was shit. Oh. You know, yeah. It is what it is.
Huh. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for the review then.
Yeah, I believe I might have been in the restroom when this matchup came about. It was pretty quick. The only thing that I honestly noticed, and I muted this, was with the whole Kevin Hart thing. You could tell he's not a fan and he's just there to promote his movie.
How much does that guy weigh?
Yeah, it was like, what was that guy's name? That really old guy that they had announced for WrestleMania one year, like Art O'Donnell or something. Mm-hmm. A couple years, like way back in the 90s. But yeah, it was just uncomfortable. And then he came out and did that falling thing and I completely tuned out. I mean, I know WWE has to do this once in a while to appease their advertisers, but it still makes me cringe whenever you have a celebrity mm-hmm. on there, especially when they don't know what they're talking about. Like, at least when Hugh Jackman or Maria Menounos is on, you can tell that they're kind of fans, that they do watch the product to some extent. It comes off a lot more natural, but man, when these celebrities are on there that don't know what they're talking about, it really shows.
Plus, Kevin Hart, I think, was making some kind of comment about Fandango's pants. Pretty much suggesting that he's probably gay, but he's like, whoa, what's he doing with Layla? What? This makes no sense.
I do have another criticism.
What's that?
Why has everybody got the same finisher? Adam Rose, Curtis Axel, Dean Ambrose all have the same fucking finisher. What's all that about?
It's all right. It's a thing. It just happens.
I think they just like the finisher and they don't know who to give it to, so they give it to a bunch of guys, and then whoever gets it the most just over gets to keep it.
What is that finisher? Like.
It's sort of like a front words DDT.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what Adam Rose does? I don't even think
rather than having his head in like a headlock, a side headlock, he has it over his head like a cutter. That's the only difference between him and Dean Ambrose's move.
I think we should just call it the meh, because when anyone says it, you're just like, yeah, it's kind of meh.
Well, it's a hell of a lot better than the move Adam Rose used to use, which was like a lariat clothesline, which is one of the worst finishers ever.
A lariat is fantastic if you're a big enough guy can make it look legit.
Oh, JBL had a fantastic lariat, but
exactly, for a guy but like Adam fucking Rose. Adam Rose, no.
It was all right.
Okay.
Shut up, Drew.
We had a short Divas match between Paige and Cameron. Paige getting the win with the Paige tap out. Whatever the hell it's called. just a quick match for Paige to get an exhibition of herself out there. I guess they're trying to make up Cameron as some kind of threat to Paige's title. I don't buy it. Not for one second. Paige is going to be holding on that for a long, long time. Anything you guys want to add to that, though?
She screamed.
Yeah, it was fucking stupid. They're calling it the PTO or Paige tap out now, so they don't have to call it the modified scorpion lock. Yet he goes, oh, it's the modified scorpion lock. That she calls the PTO. Shut up. Just fucking call it one thing. Both names are fucking retarded because I don't even know what a scorpion lock is still.
I missed this match because I was browsing for porn to watch later tonight.
Good for you.
I like how you do your porn research in advance.
Yeah, you know.
Man's got to have his priorities.
Well, if I'm going to have a fucking wank, I need to predict when I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I got a schedule I got to keep, guys.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Well, I saved the best for last then, guys. Rybacksel is set to face Goldust and Cody Rhodes' most recent attempt to fill in his tag team spot. And he said this time it was going to magnify the magnificence that is Goldust. And who would it be? But Stardust. Yes, Cody Rhodes dressed up in gold and black paint in a gold and black bodysuit, only with stars all over it. He has a big star in his face. He's got these stars on his gloves that he puts together like AJ Styles used to. A lot of controversy I'm seeing about this. A lot of people hating on it think it's dumb and silly and they're just doing whatever they can to kill Cody Rhodes. I disagree. I kind of liked it. I think they looked good as a pairing. I think that they could really do some cool team moves. I think this breathes new life into this tag team. Goldust can still go. I don't want Goldust just to get shoved aside just because they want to do something with Cody. I think these guys still have a lot of time that they can put together. Tag team division still needs good tag teams to keep it fluffed out there. So I'm all for this. Cody Rhodes gets the pin with a new finishing move. I don't think I've ever seen him use it before. And once again, it's very similar to like Adam Rose's finisher where he does a flip over them and gives them sort of a cutter slash DDT. But I'm digging this team. What are you guys thinking about Stardust? Sean, why don't you start us off, man?
That is one creepiest pedophile smile I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
That was well creepy, but I really enjoyed this fucking tag team, I gotta admit. Stardust is whoever came up with that deserves 10 gold stars.
Miguel?
That smile, man, that thing is going to be the stuff of my nightmares. And the worst part is I'm subscribed to several wrestling groups here on Facebook. So my entire timeline right now is just close-ups of Cody Rhodes all up and down my timeline. It's terrifying.
Be a man, Miguel.
But I will say this, in all kidding aside, I do admit there's a lot of hatred, and I was a little annoyed by the gimmick. I'm going to give it a couple more weeks because like the Brodus Clay character, it took a while for me to get into that character. It might take a while for me to get into this character. I will admit we might be seeing a certain person make a return to Team Best for Business, hopefully. You know, do I have the next choice in the draft, by the way?
I think you're close there, but if you're looking to bring Cody Rhodes back, you're a little late because I already took him.
Oh, all right, fair enough.
But Goldust is available. Just throw it out there.
I'll have to think about that. But in terms of the actual gimmick, you know what? It gives Cody Rhodes something to do. He was really doing nothing up until this point except tag teaming with his brother. So at least now he's doing what he was good at, but now he's doing it in a way that's going to have him stick out. It does annoy me, though, that I had such hope he would be the one Rhodes member that would get over without having to wear a goofy gimmick in the WWE. But, well, looks like we're pretty much done with that.
He's already won enough goofy gimmicks. So what's one more?
But
the guy used to wear a mirror on his back.
True, but it wasn't polka dots and it wasn't, you know, the Gold Dust character. So now he's pretty much gone whole hog in this case.
I expect this to be short term, maybe until like Survivor Series at the longest. This is not a permanent character for Cody. At least I assume it's not. If Cody Rhodes is still doing Stardust in 5 years, then I'll gladly admit I was wrong. But
if it gets over, we might be seeing more of it. But hopefully it does get over for his sake.
Drew?
I liked it. The only thing I thought that was weird was the way that their costumes looked. It looked like Stardust's or Cody's was like all latex, and I thought he was like about to go into like some S&M for some reason. It was a little weird. It just looked, his costume looks cool, but God, it's just so shiny and it scares the crap out of me. But other than that, I like it. The face paint's a little weird with the star on it, but hey, it does what it does. I like it.
Oh, well, he's Stardust, you see.
So. Yeah, because he's star. Hulk dust. No, he probably doesn't. He's got to come up with something like.
If he does that, I will so get into this gimmick.
Wago, what'd you think about it?
I fucking loved it. I thought it's awesome. And hats off to Cody Rhodes. I think he doesn't get enough credit for constantly evolving his character. He's had a hell of a lot of gimmicks for the short time that he's been with the company. He started off teaming with Bob Corr. Then he had the whole legacy that gimmick going on. And then he tried out the dashing. He had the disfigured Cody Rhodes. He's done a lot of different things, and he always keeps it interesting. So it's just another chapter, and I'm enjoying it. I don't see him ever as being a main event talent, but he's one of the best on the mid card, and I'm going to give it a chance. I just say get a better fitting outfit.
And chat room putting it out there, grapple this saying it was horrific a la Russo. I'm expecting a lot of hate for this, and as soon as I saw it, I knew there was going to be a lot of people against it. I think it's just going to take people time to adjust.
I think people are more shocked than anything else.
Shocked or confused?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is what people expected to see, and for that matter, I don't know if they expected Cody to strike it so well. You know, he, regardless of whether you actually liked it or not, Cody was into this, and he put his all in. He believes in it, at least for that night. Mango, wrap us up. What'd you think about it?
I gotta echo a lot of the same things. I liked it. I think it's a little creepy. I think it's a little weird. And I think that it's a little lame, to be perfectly honest, because the Stardust thing is a little bit odd. And that creepy ass smile, I mean, that's just that's gonna be a meme without a doubt. I gotta say, I'm a little bit disappointed that they didn't go with something as simple as Silver Dust, because that would have been kind of funny. But there is so much potential in this, and I was one of those people that hated Brodus Clay when he first came out with the Funkasaurus thing. I thought it was the stupidest thing in the world. I ran it down for like 2 weeks or so as, man, fuck this, they don't know what they're doing and all that, and I eventually grew to really like it. So anytime something like this happens, even if there's a part of me that doesn't like it, I'm going to be willing to give it a little bit more time before I start running it down. There is a lot of potential here. And if you look at Cody Rhodes doing nothing versus Cody Rhodes doing this, having fun, getting people talking, and not looking like a piece of garbage as well, because there's a difference between Damian Sandow dressing up and getting his ass kicked in squash matches and Cody Rhodes looking like a lunatic and winning matches. This could end up being one of those things that Cody Rhodes rides for a couple months, and around WrestleMania time, we get that match between Stardust and Goldust and whatever, and it just becomes Cody Rhodes and Dusty Rhodes, or Dustin Rhodes, not Dusty. Or it could end up being something that he gets really into and we see for a long time. these two have a chance at winning the tag team titles more than they did in the past however many months since they had dropped it. So this is definitely a positive in my book, and I'm curious to see where it goes from here.
All right, folks, it's time for us to move into a lot of people's favorite segment here. We're going to recap our favorite part, our least favorite part, and the ugliest part with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, this is the part where all of us here tell you once again, as I said, the best part, the worst part, and the part that was the most embarrassing to explain if somebody who wasn't a wrestling fan walked in the show. At least that's my best way of telling you what an ugly is. Go around, get everyone's. Drew White, what's your good, bad, and ugly?
All right, my good tonight will definitely have to be the Battle Royal and Roman Reigns coming out on top like a champ, and him putting the sexy moves on Vicky Guerrero. The bad, it'll be the main event, Cena versus Kane, because fuck that, and those two in a match against each other. And for the ugly, it's gonna have to be the vomit thing, just because if my mom walked in when that happened, it'd be one of those like, oh, hi mom, do you like this? Yeah, you don't, okay. So yeah, there's that.
Mango?
All right, my good... Battle Royal and the whole situation with Roman Reigns becoming somebody in the Money in the Bank. Bad, Rusev's entrance and everything that went on with that squash segment. And the ugly, I got to go with the vomit thing too, because if somebody is going to be judging wrestling based off of all the other aspects, you know, the athleticism, the humor, the drama and all that, if that's supposed to be the representative of funny, and the screaming that Vicky Guerrero does is supposed to be like the real buildup of, oh my God, that's the hilarious part, is she's screaming because she was thrown up on. I would be embarrassed to show somebody that. So I got to echo pretty much what Drew said there.
Wago?
As far as the good goes, it's the whole Roman Reigns saga. He's finally starting to get some character, and they're putting him over, and I like it. As far as the bad goes, whilst I didn't see it, I'm just kind of down on the whole bringing celebrities in unless they're going to add something to the show thing. So, fuck you, Kevin Hart. And as far as the ugly goes, it's going to be the puke segment. It wasn't even dog puke.
Sean, you're good, bad, and ugly.
The good for me was the Stardust segment. I thought that was really, really well played. The bad, I'd have to say, is the vomit segment. And the ugly is Jerry Lawler. Every time Kane goes and does a choke slam, he always makes that stupid choking noise, and it drives me fucking insane. Yes, that noise. Yeah, it drives me nuts. Put him in a locker or something, for fuck's sake.
I bet everyone gets scared. Oh, shit, is Jerry having another heart attack?
Miguel, you're good, bad, and ugly, man.
I think I'm going to be echoing a lot of what people said. Roman Reigns is the good. That whole Rusev-Roman stare down in the crowd just going crazy, really, it really brought me through the rest of the show. The bad, the Kevin Hart segment, I mean... Dude, if you don't know what you're doing, don't agree to appear on the show, because you just make yourself look like such a it makes you look so second rate. And I like Kevin Hart. I think the guy's funny, but he brought none of that to this show. And ugly, the vomit segment. I mean, had it not been for the prospect of Roman Reigns, I probably would have just shut the TV off at that point. I would not have continued.
All right, pulling a few out of the chat room real quick. Grapple This Production says, good, me calling in drunk. Bad, me probably being incoherent. And ugly, my morning tomorrow. Oy vey. There you go. JT77 saying, good, Reigns being in the Money in the Bank. Bad, the stretcher match. And ugly, the vomit. And Awesome Piano Man, good, JD. Bad, the vomit. Ugly, Chrisley. Which brings it to my good, bad, and the ugly. And for me, I'm going to say the good was Stardust. I'm going to go out on a limb on that. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was something unique for Cody Rhodes to be doing, and I'm excited to see where it goes. Roman Reigns, of course, was a big deal too, but that was just a long time coming, and we all knew that there was a big star with Roman Reigns. No pun intended with that.
Oh.
Bad was absolutely Kevin Hart. That was just atrocious. I don't know whose good idea it was to bring him on there, but they should be reprimanded. Ugly, definitely that vomit scene. I think that was almost a unanimous one across everybody. That vomit scene was pointless. It was disgusting. There was a lot of other ways. You could have just had Roman Reigns come in and sweet talk Vicky. It would have totally been believable that way. You didn't have to go through all this. I guess there was a way you had to get Stephanie and Triple H off TV, but just be like, oh, your kid is vomiting. There's a call. Your kid is vomiting. You got to go home. And that's it.
When the thought of Roman Reigns getting intimate with Vicky Guerrero is a plus over your alternative, that's when you know you've got a bad segment planned.
Touche. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to be debuting a new segment here on the Raw Post Show.
Fuck.
Hey, listeners, thanks for enjoying another awesome program by Mega Powers Radio. I'm Mike Payton, owner of the station, and I wanted to tell you that Mega Powers Radio is soon celebrating its one-year anniversary, and we want you to share the fun with us. It all takes place this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hosts from across the entire collective will be on hand for jokes, games, a few special surprises, and as always, we'll be welcoming your calls on the air as well. So, don't miss this once-in-a-year chance to hear all your favorite Mega Powers Radio hosts as you've never heard them before. It all goes down this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. That's Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Don't be a lemon. Be there.
And as I said, tonight is actually the official anniversary of Mega Powers Radio. And for that matter, it is the anniversary of the Raw Post Show. And with that, I had to do at least something special. So I wanted to introduce a new segment. A lot of you out there know that I also had a podcast called Keeping Kayfabe. And that show underwent a lot of format changes until I finally got something close to where I wanted it. But initially, when I started that show, what I wanted it to be was a comparison of that week's Monday Night Raw to the Raw that happened 15 years prior and see how things had changed throughout the years. So what I would like to introduce here is a look back at how Monday Night Raw used to be for what I am calling the Raw Retrospective. So let's take a trip to the past. 20 years ago, 1994, Raw hailed from Bushkill, Pennsylvania, and this was a pretty lame show. As many know, 1994 was a shitty year for wrestling, especially WWE or WWF it was at the time. The main event of this Raw was a squash match of Bam Bam Bigelow versus the Italian Stallion. Also on the show, we got to see Thurman Sparky Plug, one of our favorites, go against George South in another squash match. Pretty much a show of nothing but squash matches. Anyone here watch Raw back in 1994, remember these days?
I did.
You weren't watching in 19. You were barely born in 1994.
I was a fucking sperm in 1994.
Hey, you still could have watched.
Hey, you're still a fucking sperm.
Oh, well, heating things up a bit. 15 years ago in 1999, Raw was at the Pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee, one of my favorite venues. Don't actually have shows there anymore, but if you ever get to look at a picture of it, look at the Pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee. It actually is shaped like a pyramid, but it's all glass sides. It's right along the Mississippi River there. Really awesome place. And whenever they go there, they always seem to fight to the outside. This show was during the height of the corporate ministry. And compared to the show we had before, this was packed, like pay-per-view quality. We had Jeff Jarrett retaining the Intercontinental title in a triple threat against Ken Shamrock and Tess. Viscera defeated Mark Henry in a gorilla press slam match, which I tried to find that. I want to see Viscera lifting Mark Henry over his head. That sounds quite impressive.
I think Viscera technically is bigger than Mark Henry, if I remember correctly.
He's fatter. But I don't know what kind of muscle mass he has. Mark Henry had that muscle, even back then.
I could have sworn I'm basing it around the old WrestleMania 64 game. I think they had him built at like 550 pounds. And like, I think Mark Henry was like barely 500 at that point.
This is the match. If you're going to look out for one, I would say look for it. Big Show against, as I said, a person we're a big fan of here, Hardcore Holly in a hardcore match. I think this was before they instituted the title, but they were starting to introduce having that hardcore feel. This match led to the outside of the pyramid, where eventually Big Show slammed Hardcore Holly into the side of a wall and pushed a car over a ledge onto Hardcore Holly in order to allow him to get the pin on him. Hardcore Holly, so extreme, Big Show had to push a freaking car onto him. How do you like, once that's done, how do you possibly try to find anything that goes past that when you push a car on top of somebody?
Duct tape.
Now that's Bob Core.
You vomit on someone.
Bill, there you go.
Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson defeated Shane and Vince McMahon via DQ when the Mean Street Posse interfered. Pat Patterson, the talk of the town this week, as we all know. And our main event was The Undertaker defending the WWF Championship against Triple H when he gets DQ when The Rock interferes. 10 years ago, Raw emanated from Miami, Florida.
Miami.
Only had 3 matches on it. It was a 2-hour Raw, only had 3 matches on it.
What, a 2-hour Raw?
Mm-hmm. This was during the peak of the Triple H, McMahon, Helmsley thing during the Evolution era. So if you think Evolution was bad this year, should have seen Evolution in 2004. Some of the things happened on the show. Lita found out that she cannot marry her love, Matt Hardy, because Kane was the father of her baby. Triple H fought Eugene to a no contest when Evolution and Chris Benoit interfered in the match.
Oh.
And Trish Stratus defeated Victoria to retain the women's title in what was the longest and probably the best match on the show, which is pretty sad. And lastly, 5 years ago, 2009, Raw was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This was the commercial-free Raw, if everyone remembers this, when Donald Trump, quote-unquote, bought Raw from Vince McMahon. Not a very good time. But it was kind of neat to have a commercial-free Raw for the entire 3 hours, which, you know, today we're at 3 hours every week, and we enjoy these commercials. It's a nice little break that allows us to go and get something else. This was eventually led to the start of the guest host era, which really kind of leads all the way up to today, where we had Kevin Hart as a guest host. Luckily, they're not doing it every single week, but there was a period there for about a year and a half where they would be cycling in all these celebrities to host the show. I wasn't a very big fan of that either. Do you guys have any times you liked that?
I had 2 occasions, and the one that played Dr. Evil's son was pretty good. I totally forgot his name now, but
Seth Green,
he's was pretty awesome. And Rob Zombie wasn't too bad either, but all the others fucking stunk up the joint.
I was partial to Bob Barker. I thought he was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
On this match, we had John Cena finally retorting to The Miz, who was stepping up and calling him out for weeks and weeks, calling John Cena a coward. He came out with this shirt that had Cena on it being crossed out. I pretty much call this as the time when The Miz stepped up and came up to that next level, eventually leading to them having a match at the Bash where John Cena made short work of him and almost made the whole thing seem pointless. But this was a time period where The Miz finally was starting to step up from being that reality show squirt and making a name for himself. Which more or less remains to this day. He would go on to main event WrestleMania, and hasn't been seen on Raw in a number of times now, but he has been all filming a movie, and you could bet there's going to be a spot for him when he comes back. In fact, a lot of us were predicting The Miz to win that Battle Royal tonight and get himself into Money in the Bank.
From what I'm hearing, he also might return with a manager, a certain 16-time world champion, but that's all I'm going to say.
Hopefully you're wrong.
I hope so, too.
Mickey James and the Bellas defeated Maryse, Beth Phoenix, and Rosa Mendez in a 6 Divas tag match. And the only reason I put this down, because the significant thing that I thought about this is there's only one diva in this match who has remained employed nonstop since that matchup 5 years ago. And that's Rosa Mendez.
Woo!
Let that speak
pretty
for itself.
Pretty sure we know why.
And our main event was The Big Show against John Cena. John Cena actually losing when The Miz comes out while John Cena has Big Show up for an attitude adjustment, pulls Cena's legs out from underneath him, allowing The Big Show to squash Cena, get the pin over him, and the show goes off the air with The Miz standing tall over the lifeless body of John Cena.
He did.
It was a good time. I enjoyed the ascension of The Miz, and I think it's a shame things didn't pan out better for him 5 years later, looking back at how it all dropped.
They experimented. They tried to push him as something, and I think it was bad timing. I mean, clearly by the time WrestleMania came around, Miz wasn't even in the cards. He was just kind of a warm body there for Cena to throw around before he got his hands on The Rock.
I think his stock dropped a lot during that WrestleMania match. I still consider it one of the worst Mania main events. And the guy was fantastic during his initial run where he got to that main event level, but I think he really only has himself to blame that where he is now.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to add to our Raw history lesson here?
I learned something.
Well, folks out there, if you enjoyed this new segment, please let me know if I should keep it. Should I nix it? A little something extra I wanted to add in here, and I think it's fun to take a look at the past. With that, guys, we're going to start wrapping things up here and do our last bit of business, and that's to go around to all the hosts and allow them to take a minute to tell you about other things they got going on in their life that they would like you to take a few minutes of your life and check out. Drew, why don't you start us off, man?
I put down the Wii controller. All right, so if you are into sports and like listening to people talk about sports, because sports is all your life is about, please, on Thursday, listen to Sports Talk Weekly here on Mega Powers Radio. That'll be at 9 o'clock, where you can hear me and an occasional guest, Drew White, on the air as we do stuff like talk about sports.
Good plug, Drew.
Thank you.
Miguel?
Thank you. I worked on it.
It's kind of a moot point to plug my stuff because – all of you guys and our fans are probably going to be listening to tomorrow's however long it is, the anniversary show. But if you need something to listen to before that, since this show starts at 9 and mine starts at 8, you can check the first hour of the Untitled Movie Show on blogtalkradio.com. We do a show from 8 o'clock till 10, and then after that we kind of go into our overtime segment. But tomorrow we're going to be doing our retrospective on the Rocky series. So if you're into that franchise and you want to get some info on that, listen to us on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, on blogtalkradio.com, and you'll have something to listen to before you transfer at 9 over to the anniversary show. And I just want to point out, I really did try to make it to the anniversary show. I couldn't find another show that was willing to switch with me this week, so uh-huh. – I had no choice, but I wanted to be a part of it, guys. It's going to be great. You guys are going to have a lot of fun. I'm assuming my name's going to pop up a couple of times, but I'm not. I'm making a safe bet on that one.
Yeah, it'll start with fucking end with Miguel.
Yeah. It probably will. There'll probably be a few of those around, but I'm content with it. I'm fine. But yeah, check out the Untitled Movie Show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on blogtalkradio.com.
We appreciate your efforts, Miguel, and there's nothing but respect for a person who sticks to their responsibilities. So thank you for trying, and hope you have a good show as well. We're not going to try to take anything away from you.
I appreciate it, man.
Mr. Walker, you're next.
I ain't got nothing.
You don't got any birds you can plug?
Don't you have like a cool article to plug or anything like that?
Can you giggle?
No, I I just want to go to bed before I pass out and die and choke on my own vomit.
Well, if you want to say the worst.
What?
One at a time, boys.
Go ahead, Wayo.
If you want to see the worst Smack Talk outro in the history of Smack Talk, go check out the last episode where Sean Walker did a fantastic job with his own
that outro has got many... many compliments, I'll let you know.
It actually has. So, yeah. We, as much as we might want to try to hate on it, the fans like it, so who are we to say?
Yeah, I'm going to have a shit face before my next one.
Wago, why don't you take over, man?
All right, check out Unanimous Decision MMA. You can go to udmma.com, facebook.com/udmma, and twitter.com/udmma. Also, check out Addicted to Anime by going to facebook.com/addictedanimefans.
And Mango, wrap us up.
SmartOutMoment.com, where, amongst other things, you can vote for the hottest diva currently on the roster in WWE, so go check that out. Smack Talk Podcast you can find on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher. The YouTube link is .com/SmartOutMoment. You can find me on Bleacher Report as well as What Culture Now, and everything else you want to follow regarding A Mango Tree like Fanboys Anonymous, just go to the bottom of SmartOutMoment.com to see all those links to the Facebook and Twitter accounts.
Just read something in the chat room, making me crack up. Folks, if you enjoyed this show tonight, please join us every single week following the conclusion of Raw on MegaPowersRadio.com. We'll be here with the Raw post show, and there's lots of other great content on Mega Powers Radio as well. Please check it all out, but especially join us tomorrow night for our one-year anniversary party super show. We're going to try to have everybody on deck. Phone lines will be open. The chat room will be there. All that usual fun and lots of surprises as well. I've played the commercial a number of times, and I'm going to play it again if you didn't get all the information. But again, that's tomorrow night, June 17th, MegaPowersRadio.com. Folks, have a tremendous night. For Stephen Huego, for Drew White, for Sean Walker, for Miguel Leon, and for Tony Mango, I am Mike Payton, and we'll see y'all next time on the NPR Raw Post Show.
enjoying another awesome program by Mega Powers Radio. I'm Mike Payton, owner of the station, and I wanted to tell you that Mega Powers Radio is soon celebrating its one-year anniversary, and we want you to share the fun with us. It all takes place this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hosts from across the entire collective will be on hand for jokes, games, a few special surprises, and as always, we'll be welcoming your calls on the air as well. So, don't miss this once-in-a-year chance to hear all your favorite Mega Powers Radio hosts as you've never heard them before. It all goes down this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. That's Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Don't be a lemon, be there.